But anyway, guys, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at a short passage of scripture from Jeremiah chapter 29. I know many people are very familiar with verse 11 of Jeremiah chapter 29, the plans that God has for us. But what I want us to actually focus on is verse 4 to 7. So if you have your Bible, please open it. If not, maybe you have one on your smartphone. Whatever way, try and find a copy of the Word of God. If not, just listen in. Jeremiah 29, verse 4 to 7. Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7, the Word of God says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." This is God's word. Let's come before the Lord in a word of prayer before we look at the passage. Oh, our great and sovereign Lord, we thank you that we can come together on this evening to have fun, to fellowship, and to hear from your word. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that you are not a God who is silent, but you're a God who speaks. Father, would you speak to us tonight from your word? Would you encourage us and equip us? Would you provoke us unto good works? And may we make much of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I speak. May I know the liberty of the Spirit, and may I point people to Jesus and Jesus alone. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, today we live in a culture and society that isn't exactly friendly towards Christianity. That kind of goes without saying, but if you doubt me, just turn the TV on and you'll see constant attacks upon Christianity. Our society, our culture doesn't seem to like the thought of Jesus. And the question we have to face is this, is how can we communicate the timeless message of Jesus to a culture that doesn't want anything to do with him? You know, we as Christians are called to communicate Jesus even if everyone's against us. But how do we do it? You know, it's a challenge. How do we break down the barriers? How do we break down the walls that people have constructed against Jesus and his gospel? You know, this thought is actually something that I've had to ponder quite a bit. In my role as an evangelist, we're often doing a lot of ministry into areas where sometimes there's hostility. Going into places and doing ministry where people say, "I don't really want to hear about it." So we're constantly thinking, how can we pull down barriers? How can we open ears for the gospel? And one particular day, actually probably a few months ago, we were doing an outreach in Woodridge. And on Tuesday afternoons, we do an outreach near the Woodridge train station. And there used to be this group of people who would set up probably about 10 metres from us at every outreach. And this group would sit to the side, and they were the heckler's gallery. They would yell abuse, they would scream at us, they would swear at us. We're not even talking to them. We're just chatting to other people, yet they decided it was their mission to shut us down. They hated us with a passion. Sometimes they'd walk past and spit at us. They would try and steal our equipment. And it was always this battle of how do we break down their barriers in order to reach them for Jesus? You know, they're not our enemies. They're merely people that need Jesus. So how can we communicate Christ to them? And one day, as we're actually thinking about how to do this, someone overheard them say how hungry they were. So we thought, okay, we'll have a go at this. We'll use their hunger as a means to get the gospel to them. So we went across the road and we bought some of the most expensive pizza I've ever seen in my life. We bought all this pizza and we went back to them and said, "Hey, guys, we heard you're hungry. We'd like to give you a feed." Well, I think their jaws hit the ground. They were in complete and total shock. Here they are abusing us and we're coming up saying, "Hey, have a piece of pizza." Yet that was the means that broke down the barriers. At that point, we become their best people in all of Woodridge. They loved us. They wouldn't let anyone say a bad thing about us. In fact, that day, we spent about an hour sitting in the dirt with them, singing gospel songs on a broken old guitar that one of them had. And from that day, they became friendly, they asked for Bibles, and they will not give us any hassle anymore. Now, I'm not telling that story to say, look how wonderful we are, but I'm trying to illustrate this. By doing something for the welfare and the care of someone in the community, created an opportunity for us to make Jesus known. And tonight, as we consider how to impact our community, because I'm sure we all want to impact our community for Jesus, the question we have to ask is how? what we need to realize is that God in his wisdom, God who is much smarter than any of us will ever be, has actually given us an example and pattern in Scripture on how we are to minister to people in the midst of a hostile society. In fact, in that passage we just read in Jeremiah 29, we see God speaking to the children of Israel saying, you're going into a hostile environment, go there and minister to them. You know, it's always helpful for us as we look at a passage in the Bible to understand the context in which it's being spoken. You know, if I was to write you a letter, it would be helpful for you to know who I am, who I'm writing to, why I'm writing, and what the whole purpose of the thing is about. And it's the same when we come to the Word of God. We need to understand the context of what is happening. So what is happening in Jeremiah 29 is that the people of God have been taken captive by the Babylonians. God had actually sent them into exile. That's what the text says. This is God's doing. God raised up the Babylonians to capture the Jewish people and to take them into captivity. And God says, while you're in captivity, while you're in the midst of a hostile land, while you are facing hardship for your faith and your belief, I want you to do that which is good for your captors. I want you to work for the welfare of the city. You see, in many ways, this letter that God is writing through the prophet Jeremiah fits our culture and context perfectly. They were in a culture that said, we want nothing to do with God, and we want nothing to do with the church in the Old Testament. What does our culture say? We want nothing to do with God, and we want nothing to do with the church today. People don't like Jesus, they didn't like him then, and they don't like him now, yet we're still to minister to them. See, our country and the countries in the West have quickly cast off Jesus. It's fascinating when you look at our history that Australia had a lot of its morality and laws built upon the Bible. Yet what do we do today? Get rid of that Bible. You don't believe that book, do you? How could you be so foolish to believe that system of belief? Yet everything in our culture, everything in our society in the West flows from a Christian worldview. The way we do things, the way we act, all comes from the Bible. So when we cast off the foundations, who knows what sort of chaos we're heading to? So we as Christians have to come into this hostile environment and say, right, we're going to live, we're going to work, we're going to act, we're going to minister in the midst of this community that doesn't want to hear about Jesus. And we're going to be a light in the darkness. But how do we do it? Well, here's the simple answer. Here's the best way you can pull down barriers and be a witness for Jesus. Live your life. That's it. Live your life. And notice that's what Jeremiah tells us. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat of their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. God says, hey, do life. That's how you're going to impact your culture. That's how you're going to impact your society. Do life. Live your life in a way that Christ would have you live it. You see, it's so easy for us to look at everything, look at the news, look at all that's going on and say, woe is me, everything is bad, I'm just going to stand off here to the side and let this society go to hell in a handbasket. It's easy to have that mindset. But the Bible says not to do that. The Bible says, work for the welfare, work for the good of the community and the society that you live in. See, that's the high call God has placed upon every Christian. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus tonight, then that's what Jesus would say to you. Live your life in such a way that reflects Jesus in all his glory. Conduct your life in such a way that people will look upon you and say, you are completely different to what everyone else is doing. What's the difference? That's how we should live. God says to the Jews in Babylon, go and build some houses and live in them. Construct homes, live in them. Plant gardens, eat of the produce, work, have families, bring them up, have children, and then look for your grandchildren. You see, this language being used here is actually painting this wonderful picture that you are to do the everyday things, for those everyday things will actually help your culture and society. You know, it's very easy for us to say, I want to be radical for Jesus. What can I do that's going to turn everything upside down? Here's what the most radical thing is you can do. Live as a Christian. Follow Jesus. Do as he says and be a light in the darkness. So the Jews got that message in Jeremiah chapter 29. How should we live in the midst of hostilities? Well, we go about our daily business. How do we deal with a hostile culture? Well, you be a light in the darkness. You build homes. You live in them. Plant gardens. Do work. Have children. Let me stress, I only have children if you're married, but that's a completely different topic. But that's what we need to be doing. Do life. Live life. But what's really fascinating about this passage is this. By telling people to build homes and live in them, to have children and marry those children, to have grandchildren, God is actually telling them that they're in for the long haul. They're not going to see an overnight solution. They're having a multi-generational view. They're saying, you know, prepare for the long term. Start the work now, but look down the corridors of time, because down the corridors of time, that's when you're going to start seeing success. You know, we build today as Christians, not necessarily for us, but for those who come after us. And for those who come after them. See, we can do wonderful works, and it's wonderful to see young adults coming together and doing ministry and doing life and fellowship together. And it's wonderful to see that happening now, but what's going to happen, say, in another 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the track, where the seeds that are sown tonight begin to grow into trees, and there's a massive impact. Slow and steady. Do life. Be prepared for the long run. Have a multi-generational view. For God will bless his word. God will bless his work. See, God, by saying take this long-term view, gives the Jews an optimistic outlook. He says, success is going to come, but you may not see it tomorrow. Look down the line. It will come. And we as Christians might look at our society and say, it's rough, it's hard, it's not good at the moment. But look down the line. Who knows what's going to happen in 40 years from now? Who knows what's going to happen 80 years from now? What are our grandchildren going to see? We start to build tonight. We start to build right now. We take the optimism, the confidence that the scripture says in the prophet Daniel, that one day Christ's kingdom will be so victorious it will fill the whole earth. There's something to cling to. Things look dark now. Yeah, Jesus says those who oppose him will lose. He will win. He'll be victorious. It's a small seed that grows. It's something that takes time to build, but it will build. And it's built by the people of God, loving God and doing as God says, doing life, living life, being Christian in the community. See, that's the key. We actually have to be Christians in the community. It's one thing to be Christian on Sunday or at youth group or young adults. It's one thing to be Christian in Bible studies. But what about when you're at work? What about when you're studying? What about in your daily life? Are you being a Christian there? Are you living your life in a way that honors Jesus? I mean, that's the real test of Christianity. There's nothing the world hates more than a hypocrite. In fact, I saw in the news just a couple of days ago online, an article was written about a famous sports person in Australia who professes to follow Jesus. He was caught in a situation that Jesus wouldn't have been in. So what does the media do? They say, look at him, he's a hypocrite. The world can't stand hypocrisy. So if we're going to say we love Jesus, we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to do life for Jesus, we need to live as Jesus would have us live. We need to do what Jesus would have us to do. Every aspect of our life must be guided by Jesus. You know, we all like to say Jesus Christ is Lord, that's true. But Christ is Lord of all of life. He's not just Lord of part of your life. It's all for Jesus or none for Jesus. It's all of life. Complete and total submission is what is needed. You know, these guys in Jeremiah 29 didn't just build their house on the Sunday and say, well, that's it. For the rest of the week, I'm going to go and do my own thing. No, building your house says it's going to be a constant ongoing thing. Planting a garden and eating of it is a constant ongoing thing. It takes time. It develops. And we as Christians must live the life, not just one day, but every day. Loving Jesus and loving his word, serving Christ and having him as central in everything that we do. You and I exist to spread the fame of Jesus. We exist to bring glory to him and him alone. So when you engage in business, when you engage in study, when you engage in even going to the shops,
Jesus be central?
You know, there's so many opportunities in life for you to make much of Jesus. Even going to the shops can sometimes provide you an opportunity to testify of Christ. I spent some time living in Scotland, and Scotland's a very hostile country to the gospel. It has a wonderful Christian heritage, wonderful missionary background. God had awakenings and revivals there. It was absolutely wonderful. But today, there's a hostility to Jesus, worse than here. And whilst living there, we actually had a day we were going to take a road trip, and we thought, well, we want to get some lunch for the road trip. So I went down to their version of Woolworths, Tesco. And they sell sandwiches, pre-made sandwiches. So just to hit the level of how lazy I am, I wasn't going to make a sanger. I was going to go buy a sandwich. So I went and bought a sandwich. I got everything I wanted for my wife and I. And I went through the self-serve checkout, which isn't good. I used to work at Bilo as a checkout operator. I thought I knew how to use those things. I don't. But I got through the whole checkout process, got back to the car, and I went, that was really cheap. And I looked at my receipt and went, oh, I didn't pay for a sandwich. Somehow I scanned everything, missed one sandwich, and put it in my bag. Now I have a question. What do I do? Do I say, well, that's their problem. They didn't pick up on it. I've got myself a free sandwich. Or do I go back in? Well, I went back in. And I went up to the management and said, I'm sorry. Something went wrong. I must have missed this sandwich. Can I scan it and get it paid for now? And the manager just looked at me and said, I'm sorry? What? And I said, well, I went through and I got a sandwich. I didn't pay for it. I'd like to pay for it now. I'm sorry? What? I'm thinking, okay, we might be having the Australian accent, Scottish accent different here. I don't know what's happening. So I said it really slowly. I just got a sandwich. I didn't actually pay for it. Can I pay for it now? You want to pay for something that you got out of the store for free? I'm like, yes, I didn't pay for it. It was a mistake. That manager then called other staff members over. Wait, this guy wants to pay for a sandwich that he got out of the store with for nothing. What? I'm thinking, oh, here we go. This is going to be a long day. But they said, why would you do this? Everyone would just say, score, free sandwich. And I said, well, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus. I want to do what he says I should do. And he says that we should be honest and we shouldn't steal. So if I take this sandwich without letting you know, I'm a thief. And they were amazed. And the hostility they had towards Christianity disappeared. We had an opportunity in the supermarket to talk about Jesus and his work. That's simply living the Christian life. That's all it is. And we as Christians must do that. We should be striving constantly to look for opportunities, to live life, to do life as Christians, to conform our life to God's word, to live and honor Jesus in all that we do. That's why it says in verse 7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. God says, I'm sending you into a hostile environment, but I want you to work for their good. Serve them, pray for them, love them. For in their blessing, you will find your blessing. In their good, you will find your good. It's a radical concept, isn't it? I am to work for the welfare of my society. I am to work for the welfare of my city. I am to work to do that which is good for my nation. How can I do that? By being a Christian. By living the Christian life. By honoring Jesus. Some other ways that we can do is we can pray for our city. Do you pray for this community? Do you pray for this society? That the Lord Jesus would interrupt human history and change everything. Man, God's done that in the past. He can do that again. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, I'm interceding for my town. I'm interceding for my community. God, change this place. And God hears and answers prayer. Another way we can work for the good of our community is by engaging in social action. That is, we can take care of the poor, the needy, the oppressed. We can stand up for that which is right. We can speak out against that which is evil. And say, no, I will speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. That's for the good of your society. Another way is by raising a family. Now, I know some of you guys aren't married yet. And God willing, one day you will find a lovely, godly partner and you'll spend the rest of your life with them and have children. The family is the building block for our society. If the family disappears, our city disappears. If the family crumbles, everything crumbles in society. So we as Christians should seek to marry and raise godly children. To train up your children so that down the line, your children, your children's children, and so on, will honour Jesus and have a bigger impact in our society than we ever imagined. Another way you can honour Christ and work for the good of the city is by how you conduct yourself at work or at study. Work the best you can. Be honest in all your dealings. Work as if you're working directly for Jesus. Now, time doesn't allow us to go into all the different things. There's so many things that we could actually do that are practical. But something that we need to take note of is this. We also must verbalize the faith. I can live a brilliant life, but if I'm not telling people about Jesus and saying why I'm living that life, is it really going to have an impact? People just pat you on the back and say, he's a nice fella. No, they should say, well, he's a nice fella because he loves Jesus. He's a nice fella because he's honouring Christ. So we must tell people about Jesus. We have good deeds, good work, but probably the most impactful way we can do work for the good of our city is by actually telling people of Jesus. That's the only way. Until people have an encounter with the living God, until people come face to face with the Lord Jesus and submit to him, nothing will change. So we need to pray for boldness, pray for our city, and pray, Lord, let me testify of you. Let me tell people of Christ and his wonderful work. So as we close, we have Jeremiah giving us a challenge. The Jews lived a certain way in the midst of a hostile environment. The church in the Old Testament lived a certain way in the hostile environment. How does the church today live? How do you live? How do I live? Do our lives reflect Jesus and his word? You see, ultimately, Jesus is probably the best example, the prime example. Jesus left the glories of heaven, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the God who has no beginning and no end, the eternal God, comes down to a hostile world. He lives amongst us and he seeks to support and proclaim the kingdom of God. And how did the hostile world respond to him? They nailed him to a cross. They crucified him. Yet 2,000 years on, he is still impacting our society. That's the beauty of the gospel. No matter what may come against us, we are to stand for Jesus because who knows what impact will come on down the line. We stand for Christ. We follow in his example. We all should be desiring to impact our community. We all should be seeking the welfare of our city. That should be our desire. But let me stress something. As I finish, let me stress this. If you're going to stand for Jesus, if you're going to live for Jesus, if you're going to impact your society for Jesus, you first must know Jesus. And I stress that for a reason. Even though I know we're in a church group, I sat in church for 16 years of my life knowing how I should live, but I never knew the Jesus I was meant to be living for. We can hear how we're meant to impact society, how we're meant to live in society, but do you know the Jesus that can transform society? Do you personally know that Jesus? You see, the Bible says naturally no one knows Christ. We're all separated from him because of our sin. We cut ourselves off from the Creator and we do our own thing. We want to be the captain of our own souls, the master of our own destiny. We want to live life our way, not giving thought to Jesus. God says, live one way. We say, go away, God, I'm doing my own thing. We lie and steal and cheat. We lust, we hate, we don't love God the way we should. And the Bible says that's called sin. The problem for us is that God is good. And because he is good, he must punish wrongdoing. That means we're in a world of pain because we've done wrong. And the Bible says death and hell is the just punishment for all our sin. God says, live this way, impact your community, do this, but we can't because we actually don't know Jesus. So God himself comes to rescue us. The good news is that God has not left us hopeless and helpless. The good news is that Jesus Christ has provided the way that we can be forgiven, that we can have transformation in our own lives, and then we can go and impact our community. You see, our sin said death, but Jesus himself died on the cross for us. He took the punishment we deserve. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And now Jesus says to you and I, if you don't know me, trust in me. Turn from your sins. Embrace me by faith. I will transform you personally. I will forgive all your sins and make you brand new. And then by my Holy Spirit, I will enable you to transform society. We are to seek the welfare of the city. But the only way we can work for the good of our city is if we know Jesus. And then we're to submit to him and follow him and do as he says. So that's my challenge for you tonight. Do you know the Christ? If the answer is yes, then go out there and live for Jesus. Serve him, love him. He's a wonderful master. But if you say, no, actually, I don't know if I do know this Christ, then my call for you tonight is this. Turn from your sin and trust in him. He is a wonderful master. He is loving and kind. He died for sinners. He rose again, and he can forgive you and transform your life no matter what you've done. Trust in him. That's the challenge. Tonight, if you say, well, I'm not sure if I know Jesus, then here's what I would encourage you to do. Come and speak to me afterwards. Come to speak to one of the pastors or the youth or young adult leaders in your church. I guarantee you we'd be more than happy to introduce you to the Lord Jesus. So guys, live for Jesus, serve him and follow him all the days of your life. For he is so kind. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Oh, our loving God and Father, we thank you that you are so good towards us. That, Lord, you in your complete and total sovereignty have allowed us at this point of time in history to live in a culture and society that is hostile to you. Lord, may we be faithful in the midst of the darkness to live for Jesus no matter what. May our life reflect the light of Christ. May our whole lives be in submission to the Lordship of Jesus. And may we do life for the glory of Christ. Lord, for those of us who are struggling in different areas, struggling in ways that we should live, Lord, would you by your Spirit enable us to live the way you would have us to live? And may Jesus be honored. But Father, for those here tonight who may not know you, you, Lord, search the hearts of all people. You know those who are truly converted and those who aren't. For those who don't know you tonight, Lord, would you pursue them? Would you give them no rest until they turn from their sins and trust in Christ? Oh, Father, would you do this for your own glory and for your own exaltation? And Father, we pray that you would transform us, you would transform our society, you would transform our nation, that the glory and praise of Jesus would ascend forever and ever, and that his kingdom would stretch from shore to shore, and that men and women throughout this nation would bow before him. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.